Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me.
The unmistakable voice of Nina Simone with what should be everybody's anthem, Feeling Good. She recorded the song for her 1965 album, I Put a Spell on You. Happens that I love that version as well. But someday soon, I'll play you my very favorite version of I Put a Spell on You. It has gone through multiple permutations, Nina's song, Feeling Good, and it's been used in all kinds of commercial and advertising campaigns, but nothing comes close, let alone beats the original. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Free Your Mind Friday. I want some minds freed up today. And, you know, the whole idea is to provide this space so that you can express yourselves. Say what's on your mind and be prepared to defend it or be prepared to hear somebody take you on. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And while you get ready to dial, I want to remind you that we have some spaces left in Gary's special health retreat next month. Don't wait, because it involves you probably having to arrange airfare to get there. One is going to be held from April the 8th to the 14th, the other from April the 15th to the 21st, both of them at his retreat. It is a gorgeous property in Mineola, Texas. The idea is to put you through a regimen that puts you in charge of your health and that addresses some of the major health problems that you are contending with at the moment. Don't miss this opportunity. I am speaking to you as someone who absolutely knows the truth about it. I can tell you that it was very, very instrumental in maintaining my health. And you know, when I came to this realization that my health was in very serious jeopardy and I had to make a decision as to which way to go. Do I go the regular way or do I go another way to fortify my body? And I was able to get special treatment, special counseling, one-on-one attention. at not just the retreat, but even prior to it. 903-881-7008 is the number you should call. And just have a chat with Luann Panessi. She will tell you the details of the retreat. And you should make plans to attend as soon as possible, if not for you, but for someone else very close to you and with whom for whom you have a very special concern. 903-881-7008. Again, time is going by, and I really want to pack this health retreat with lead stories listeners, because really, we are kind of in tune here about the importance of health, and I'm concerned that at least I'm doing what I can to impress upon you that your health should be and is number one on your agenda. You must put yourself first so that you can be in a position to take care of others. But this is a very important decision that you have to make. Make it soon. Luann Panessi, 903-881-7008. Let her know that you are a lead stories listener, because you can get some bennies, some extras when you say that. Okay, so it's Free Your Mind Friday, 888-874-4888. I want to hear what you're thinking. Don't just make a statement and then dash away. No, stick around to defend your position and to enlighten us as to where your thoughts came from. What reinforces your thinking? All right. From Berkeley, Harvey starts us off today. Hello, Harvey.
Hello, wonderful Utrice.
Wonderful Harvey.
Well, I'm so glad that you and many of your friends and listeners had such a great time last weekend. It was great to hear.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, because fossil fuel industry is devastating our worldwide environment by raising CO2 levels in our atmosphere and our ocean to unprecedented levels, which is causing severe climate destabilization, I'd like to share another idea I call snolar panels. That's spelled S-N-O-L-A-R, panels. Instead of solar panels, be snolar panels, to help slow climate baking. And the problem with solar electric panels in northerly latitudes is when it snows, they get covered up and can't generate electricity. And so a second problem is that the buildup of snow and the weight of the snow causes rooftops to collapse. And on occasion, serious injury and killing people inside the building. So it's really quite a problem. And I don't know if you know what the frosting strips on car windshields are, but in northerly latitudes, they have these little strips on the windshields of cars and on the back windows, which when turned on, they sort of melt all the snow and the frost on the window. They use the car battery to do it. So I was thinking that solar panels can have optically transparent or regular defrosting strips like those found on car windshields fastened to the underside of the solar panel's transparent cover to melt the snow as it falls and prevent snow buildup. And these defrosting strips can be powered by storage batteries or by the local grid. And when the snowstorm has passed, the photovoltaic panels, the solar panels, remain snow-free, ready to generate electricity instead of being covered up. And also by clearing the snow off, by melting the snow off the solar panels, the weight of the snow could be removed from the building top and the building wouldn't collapse. So not only would you be able to continue generating clean, new renewable energy, but you'd save the building from the deadly possibility of a building collapse and injuring people. So that would be called snolar panels, solar panels made for the northerly latitudes.
About that. A brilliant idea.
Thank you.
The thing, though, is in some northern or northerly, as you call it, locations, when it snows, So anticipating very heavy accumulations, you think your idea could cope with a situation or a scenario where you have a lot of snow?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, because these defrosting strips actually do not take very much power. You can have, like, inside the building, you know, now we have these renewable energy battery systems, and during ordinary times, they could be charged up. And so when the snowstorm comes, they can use all that power from the rechargeable batteries to melt the snow off the solar panels, and actually it would work. It's already proven with cars that they can do it. So I think that this is a viable system, and it would enable solar panels, which normally would be covered with snow and not generate electricity, to work continuously after the snowstorm, and also, as I say, help to save buildings from collapse and people from being injured.
Well, we certainly can depend on you for bringing us some pretty good ideas that are environmentally sound. Thanks, Harvey, for calling and getting us started today.
Thank you, Trees.
Thanks. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what's on your mind. While I'm waiting for you, we know that there's been a collapse of a bridge, a pedestrian bridge, that connects Florida International University, FIU, with a community close to it. And students are using or were to use this bridge installed 5 days ago to get to and from their classes and other buildings without having to go through the streets. Now, just my instinct, okay, just my instinct. What contributed to this collapse? Well, we will find out, because they'll have to do a study of it. You know, they made a big fuss about it when it was constructed. It can resist Category 5 storms, and it was going to be self-cleaning with a special kind of concrete that actually uses the weather to clean itself. And all kinds of good things were said about this bridge. What was not said about this bridge was that contractors, this is a perfect example, I think, and I suppose further investigation will bear me out. You smell it. The corruption in the air. It is so thick. I'm smelling it from where I am, and I'm way north of Miami. It is so corrupt. I think a criminal investigation needs to be conducted here, because there are very dominant people in Miami, and they get the contracts to do everything. I'm pretty sure that their names will surface as the people getting the contracts, multi-million-dollar contracts. As they have before, they've gotten these contracts to construct all kinds of things that failed inspection, that cut corners, that literally put people's lives in danger. But because they're politically connected, nothing was done. Because the first thing that these folks do is they put money in the politicians' pockets. They get a contract, I'm talking multi-million dollar contracts, and this is one of them. So in the next couple of days, or when people start unraveling all of this, you will see the same formula. A company owned by and run by particular families. You know, these companies are literally criminal enterprises. But they get contracts, multi-million dollar contracts. And this is what happens. And this is not the first time. Catastrophe has occurred with some of these multi-million dollar construction projects. But we will see. But that's just my immediate intuition. My immediate intuition is not just to look at what happened here, but to look at how this project came into being and who was responsible for voting for it and the allocation of millions of dollars that ended up costing lives. I think they've found six people so far. They're still looking for people who possibly under the rubble. So there's every expectation that that number would go a bit higher. But just remember this. I haven't gone into digging anything yet, but instantly you know where the problem is. Instantly. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I wish I could have come out last Sunday. I live in New Jersey, but I'm currently in North Carolina, or I'd have been there.
Well, you were certainly encircled, and we gave you a hug by extension.
All right. That's beautiful.
Okay.
A couple things. You talked a couple days on the Donald Trump, you know, how people are upset, people are scared, people are anxious, and, you know, all that goes along with that. And I just want to give my perspective. I think I've alluded to it before, but I really don't care even a tiny bit about Donald Trump. I don't feel that he, short of declaring nuclear war and destroying the planet, I don't think there's anything that he or any other president can do or ever has done that can hold me back, and there's nothing he will do or any other president has ever done that would help or move me forward. The president is irrelevant to me. I don't care even a little bit, and I think it's just circus. It's something to divert people's attention from what is really happening and what's really important in their lives. You get involved in, oh, no, this and oh, no, that. But Donald Trump can't hurt me, and I don't think Donald Trump is really a problem at all. I mean, you just do what you need to do, and as long as he doesn't start a nuclear war, it'll all be over in a few years, and the next guy will come in, and he'll do his dirt, same as Obama did. It's none of them are civil servants. No president has ever been here to serve us or to help us. They're self-serving. They sell themselves, and they serve their elite. And to get wrapped up in thinking that they do serve you or that they mean to serve you or that they mean to help you or that they mean to lead you is just to believe in a fantasy.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
I appreciate your argument, but I have to ask you, what have you designed for yourself as an alternative system?
Alternative to depending on the president?
Yeah. Alternative to the normal thinking of things, where the government does factor into our everyday life.
I don't depend on the government for anything. I don't call the police. I've never called the police for any reason. I don't ask the government for anything. I don't use the government for anything. I don't expect anything from the government. As far as I'm concerned, Donald Trump's not my president. I don't have a president. I'm the president of my life. And there is no one above me. The government is irrelevant. The state government is irrelevant to me. The federal government is irrelevant to me. I don't need it, and I don't use it.
But how do you get around the reality that you may not have use for the government, but the government does reach into your pocket to extract what it needs in order to allegedly take care of others?
Yes, that's absolutely true. But what we learned, the major tenet in Buddhism, which I'm not a Buddhist, but I'll take knowledge wherever I can get it. What the Buddha's basis was, once he went on his pilgrimage to gain some knowledge, because he was going to run the country, and he knew that he knew nothing of the people, and he walked about the country and lived as a commoner, and what he came back with is work for what you want, what is attainable, but do not want that which you cannot have. Angst and pain and sorrow and anger all come from wanting something that you absolutely cannot have. An example, someone that wants to be young forever and dresses as a teenager when they're far beyond that. You can't have that. Don't want it. Don't want
do
it because
do
you
that.
Can't have it. So happiness comes from working toward what you can is attainable, and not wanting that which you cannot have. So not having the government take their cut, can't have it. So I don't want it. And then I have no sorrow over it. I don't want that which I cannot have. I let that go long ago. I can't have a president that is working for me. Can't have it, so I stopped wanting it. I can't have a government that is working for me and fair to all people, so I stopped wanting it because I can't have it. And that leaves me free to work for what I can have.
Wow. I think you're onto something there.
That's my system.
I think you're onto something. And how do you work this out in terms of the various cycles we go through? You did say that you don't expect any of this to change. So
no.
You're holding fast to your belief system. You have a belief system that prevents you from expecting much from a government. So therefore, you ramp up your own ability to take care of yourself.
Yes.
However, how long could you keep that up?
A lifetime.
Oh, wow.
A lifetime. I can keep it up a lifetime. I mean, this is something that I basically inherited from my father, and he lived 94 years with it, and he always felt that government is not here for you. They don't do for you. You do for yourself. No one can stop you from doing what you need to do. You may want things that you can't have, but what you need, no one can stop you from doing that. And black people in particular have a history of the odds are against us, but we still make it. No matter what, we still make it. The odds are against us, we still make it. And I go from that history. I mean, if my ancestors could make it on a slave plantation, can I not make it without a slave master whipping me? And you know, can I not make it in this much lighter gravity? I mean, Superman is a Superman on this planet because the gravity is less. On Krypton, it was just a regular guy. Here, because the gravity
is less. Are you taking us into Black Panther territory here?
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying the mythology. I've always told people that, if the gravity is less, the weight upon you is less, you become more powerful. So the weight on me compared to my recent ancestors is so much less. There's so much less sitting on my shoulders that how can I not flourish? How can I not be powerful with so much less gravity on me than my great-great-grandparents? It would be to dishonor them to cry about my situation because, you know, the few things that I have to deal with, the police brutality and the racial profiling and that kind of thing, is so much less than what it used to be that I would dishonor my ancestors to not, you know, make my way and not to whine.
I would say that in the brief moments that you have taken to give us an insight into your thinking, into your philosophy, have, I hope, triggered many of us to rethink our position. I mean, from the point of view, you have to start somewhere. And the logical place to start is, what is the philosophy? What is it that will undergird all of your actions? It's a belief system. And you seem to have thought this through, and you seem to have come to a point of reckoning, and this is what is now guiding your life. That is a remarkable achievement, I think.
But I want to be clear. It's not just me. We all have this power within us to manifest what we want. We all do, not just me.
I got the message that you were saying.
But we have to believe
all have this.
And know that we have this power. That's the first thing. And if we're beat down and we're thinking, you know, all right, I need someone to lead me, I need someone to help me, I need someone to provide for me, then you're not going to realize your personal power. And I think getting wrapped up in Donald Trump and Donald Trump's doing this and Donald Trump's doing that, yeah, that kind of stuff will go on, has gone on before him and will go on after him. He can't hurt you. He can't hurt you. Do what you need to do. He can't hurt you as long as he doesn't push that button. We'll be all right.
Bill, I thank you so much for your profound thoughts today. And
have
hope that
day,
it's resonating with many of us, because this is what I say too. Don't worry so much about them. See to your own survival. That's imperative number one.
Take care of your own.
What I like about what you're saying today is that in the realization of your own power is the answer to your freedom. And that's incredible, an incredible way that you explained it to us today. So I want to thank you so much
for giving
us this instruction today. Great. Thank you. Clara from Philadelphia, you're on the air. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Hello, Yatrice. I'm so glad to talk with you again. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, here.
Yes,
so
I can hear you.
With you again. Thank you for so many things. I want to say, I didn't call to talk about that, but the last caller, I agree with him. I say 99%. That's the same path, similar path. What I called about was this. Before I went away a while, you did a program on the Black Panther. I want to quickly read to you an email I sent out when I came back about your talk. It's very brief, but I could do it quickly if I read it. I said, "Hello, friends and family. I originally objected to the marketing of this cartoon-inspired movie in a knee-jerk reaction to its title because I immediately recognized it as a ploy to obfuscate and possibly obliterate an important era in our history of revolt and community empowerment by the Black Panther Party." That was my take. When the system paid for the black children to miss school in order to view that film, my suspicions were further validated. My decision never to pay to see that movie was finalized then. However, The podcast I'm sending you to you not only verifies my reaction, but confirms it in great detail through a brilliant analysis of how Hollywood's ongoing success at controlling the minds of black folk as they laugh at us on the way to the bank. I believe that the PRN show host, Utrice Leeds, deserves to be granted an Oscar equivalent by the black community for opening our minds up to the dangers of such a lethal propaganda. Please listen. We all deserve to hear this message, even if we decide to dismiss it. Well, they all dismissed it. I got no response, but I want to thank you anyway for my embracement of it. Thank you. You're wonderful.
Well, I want to thank you. You just promoted me to even higher heights. So thank you for that.
You deserve that.
My view wasn't still as the same about it. We really should, you know, we just heard from Bill, who basically is saying, step back a little bit.
Yeah.
And see the big picture. And see how you don't need the system. You really don't.
That's right. Don't need it, don't want it. What I'm doing, Utrice, is I'm compromising. I can't stand the system. I like the house I live in. I'm too old to emigrate. Well, I'm going to spend part of the year in another country for relief. I've chosen Nicaragua. That's where I was last month. I like the air of the atmosphere of the place. It's so-called poor country. It's not poor. Those people have just about everything they need. Nobody starves there. There's food everywhere. They say they're homeless people. I never saw one. They use everything. They don't waste anything. The reason they don't speak English is because of our intervention during the revolution. So the only people I could talk to really were emigrants. So emigrants, I'm sorry, emigrants, not emigrate. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you, Clara. It's great to hear from you. We haven't connected in a while, and it's wonderful hearing your voice.
Wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 888-874-4888. I think we're getting some really interesting insights today. All around, we see that people are achieving clarity about something. They may not have all the answers. Nobody will have all the answers. But bit by bit, they are achieving more and more clarity about the system that we're all in. And more than that, they are putting together in their own ways. They're not saying it or calling it a system of survival, but that's what it is, a survival system. When you achieve clarity, some degree of clarity about the system, you necessarily are achieving an understanding of what is possible if you are to survive, what you will have to do, or what you will have to be prepared to do. And this is amazing. People are thinking, and they're acting on what they extract from, in terms of the clarity that they are achieving by analyzing, looking in a dispassionate way about what the system is about, and whether it's possible by using your own talents, your own labors, your own intuition, your own creativity, is it possible that in your own way you can wage your own fight, which is ultimately what we all have to do? But first, we need clarity. We need clarity about the system. Bill was talking about the fact that in perspective, as he's seeing it, what we are confronted with today isn't really as onerous, as awful, I should just say. It isn't as awful as our forebears have had to deal with. They found answers, which is why we're here. They found answers, and they found ways to put their ideas to work, because that was the imperative, to survive and to make a space to create the possibility that those coming behind would have a leg up and they would do the same thing and create a better opportunity for those coming behind them. We have to internalize this message because it is the very essence of survival. Because survival means you're not thinking for yourself alone. It is important that you survive so that others behind you will survive. You are assuring their survival by being smart at what you do. See? We are actually articulating this in one way or the other, but we just haven't really put it in the, you know, not that we have to. It was just fascinating how people on their own have undertaken this work and are still doing so. This is the message that we got from Clara today. She is up in years, but she has not finished the work of surviving, and not for herself. You can hear the message that this is for others coming behind her, but she has put in the work of trying to understand the system, her place in it, and what is possible in terms of survival. What do you have to do? What are some of the things that you have to think about? This is remarkable. Give yourself some credit. This is very deep stuff. Cece from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much, Chitrice. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday to
thank
be
you.
There.
It was good to see your voice.
With all the energy.
It was great to see your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. It was outstanding. I think you maybe have to do this maybe once every quarter. We got to bring you in, or, you know, every 4 months, something like this needs to happen to build, continue to build.
It was awesome.
I want to just say, Bill, at first I wasn't sure. I had him in the low 69, 71, and he jumped up to 89%. And I will say that there have been presidents that have made a difference. You know, we have Social Security, we have the New Deal, we have the social unemployment and Social Security. I think that we do, and I appreciate, you know, what he has learned from his father. And again, I give him 89. I think that we look at the Parkland, the movement from the 17, and then there was one 18 in another state. We do have to get involved. We do have to bring our gifts, our skills, our abilities, the knowledge that we have acquired to the environment, to the community, to make the difference. We do have to do, as you have recommended, we've got to create, understand systems, and then some of us can create our own systems to add to it. So we do have to contribute, because that's what's making a difference. Unfortunately, we get, as I've mentioned on other shows, we get a little lethargic, we get a little petrified, we get a little crystallized, we get a little bit in a golf ball state, and we don't think we can make a difference. And that's what the NERA has experienced over the years. The money has overrode, and we think we can't fight the money, we can't win. But we're seeing teenagers, okay, show us the way. And we've got to get involved, and we can make the difference. Donald Trump can and is harming many people, and it's not him. He's the puppet, but it's the puppeteers that think there are too many people and that are for austerity. So in order to stop this and look at the generation, I have six grandkids and one in college and one getting ready to go. And so, you know, this is what you look at. It's like water protectors. They look at seven generations. So, you know, I have to take a little philosophy from there, but definitely appreciating Bill. And that's my piece.
But let me ask you, if I could pry a little bit into your personal life.
Yes.
Where are you in the process of deciphering just where you are in the scheme of things politically? I mean, you are one individual, fine, but you've already just said your father and your grandfather. As a father and grandfather, what is the education that you have sought out for yourself and that you believe is the kind of education that would serve you and continue to serve you and your children and grandchildren well?
Well, I think that the commitment and dedication that I'm putting in now, some of the things I can't really tell now because it's pretty much, it's in the process of growing, and I want to allow this to happen. At some point, I'm going to expand it, but it's actually multiplying and duplicating something that I think that is needed. But in reference to the education of my my children or adult children and my grands, is to let them know some of what Bill has been taught by his dad and what he said is that there's a part of us that can get anything, just about anything that we want. And and just as Clara said, I believe, if I got her name right, get what we need. Where she went to live and where she's going back to, there are people that know everything is there for them. So to let them know that the universe, the cosmos is supporting them, and their thoughts and dreams, desires, and objectives are waiting to be filled. And so if it means removing what we're experiencing in the arena of politics, as I call it, then we can do that. Okay. It is definitely politics. And what we, it's a simple situation. If what I'm encouraged by is the Parkland students, and that is the money. Okay. As they say, follow the money. The money is the issue. Money is not the root of all evil, but it has made people evil, and it makes, has people, people have allowed it to become evil, and they have allowed it to overcome their better thoughts. And of course, because of class and caste, they're not going to be affected by the Michigan water, or they're not going to be affected by the charter schools or the lesser this, but myself and mine, we can make a difference, and then we can multiply that by 10, and then that becomes 100, and then becomes 1,000, and then becomes 10,000, then becomes 100,000. So it's duplication. Duplication is the key. And it's teaching people.
Do you think that you have come to a really a decent understanding of what the system is? And do you think you have something of an answer, something of a chance of dealing with it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, for sure. And now, you know, it's been a process of several decades to get here, but then my grands, mine and my grands don't have to go through some of the things that I went through, or that my father went through, or that my grandfather went through. So absolutely, I get it. You know, I get it, and that is we've given our power away, and we've been working with illusions and myths we're still struggling with being taken, they call it slaves, and then living as X amount of fifths of a person, and so forth and so on. We're still working with self-esteem and self-concept and self-image and self. You know, all the things that relate to having us come out and letting our light shine, letting ourselves flower. So understanding that factor of what we're here to do and be is such a wonderful thing once we, you know, get it, once we understand it. So it's a mission. Everybody has their mission, their divine purpose, you know, and their gift to give to others. And we just have to allow it, create the momentum, you know, assert ourselves whenever possible. Sometimes, you know, we're secret agents or we're agents, but we've got to get involved in making that difference. And it begins with us.
Thank you, CC, for your instruction today.
There's thank you.
Much that we can hold on to from what you're offering. And I thank you for that very much. Thanks so much. 888-874-4888. I hope you're taking note of the depth at which we have gone without even making a great effort, because people in our lives, whether we know it or not, or appreciate it or not, have much to offer if we just take the opportunity to listen, pay attention, and learn. And this is one of the natural miracles that I think we experience every day without knowing it. There are people who have knowledge and expertise and experience in all kinds of areas that we desperately need to draw from in order to just continue going on with our lives. It's happened to me over and over and over again. You know, people, I never met, there's a caller, David, until this talk on Sunday. You know, he was a regular caller, is a regular caller to Lead Stories. But I had no idea. Who would think that our paths would cross this way? And it was because he insisted on being part of this community that we have here. And then I get an invitation, and who is it from? It's from David. You know, it's an amazing thing how life unfolds. People are in your midst all the time, ready to offer something. And you just have to be present to recognize it and to understand what that means. It's not accidental at all that these things happen. And we have so much to teach each other. We have so much to offer each other that we really need to concentrate on that, because that is part of our immunization against the system. We really, if we listen to what people are saying, we gather enough information and strength and energy and intuition to just keep going. But we are reinforced every time that we have this cross-pollination going on, people putting things in the air, people putting things in your path for you to pick up and utilize in your own way. So I think that's a great aspect of creating a community. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Willie.
Hi, Sister Yutis.
How you doing? Willie was my greeter. He came with a carload of very, very handsome men and met me at the airport.
Oh, okay. First of all, I just want to say that you are just glowing. You raised your face. Remember I told you your face was so radiant and beautiful?
You know, thank you.
Whatever you're doing is just about right. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, let me tell you about what happened after I left. When I went back, they were asking me, how was the turnout? I said, well, whenever somebody asks a question, I want to answer the question. What do I ask? None. People tend to tell you how to answer their question. I said, well, listen. If you should put, if Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, Sonny Luemo, all of them would come back, how would it turn out be? Well, Patrice is all of them wrapped up in one, with the exception of Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, and Minister Farrakhan. I said, that's what the turnout is, because she's all of them wrapped up in one. I say that's really a cynic. No, I really mean that, but I was a little disappointed. The facility was beautiful. The people, everything was just fine. But I was a little disappointed because, you know, I thought that if you showed up anywhere, we should have to get a place like Yankee Stadium. That's from my vantage point. So I was a little disappointed.
Here's the thing. The right people were there, and enough, because the right people were there. It was, don't forget, it was also because I was asking up until the day before about the weather. There were people who were kind of rethinking whether to go because of the weather. But it doesn't matter to me, as you can tell, because I stayed until everybody, I shook everybody's hand and we had face-to-face time for even the last one on the line. And that was what was very energizing to me. So I'm not worried. I never worry. In my years of talking, especially to community groups and so forth, they would worry about, well, what's the turnout? I said, forget it. If there are two people, we'll talk. I'm not here to generate a crowd. I'm interested in talking to whoever is there and them talking to me. That's it. If I have one person in Madison Square Garden, I'm okay. I'm totally okay with it.
Good
turnout, I think. We had a very good turnout.
You know, of course it was. But for me, wherever you showed up, it should be like Minister Farrakhan, anybody, you know, somebody like that. That's what I expect. But it was a great turnout, you know, as far as, you know, the average person. But if you put all of these people, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all of them, you would have to have a place like Madison Square Garden and hold all of them. You know what I'm saying? All the people that would come to see him. So that's from my and you know, some of the brothers wanted to play Dennis in my mouth because they're saying, well, we, I didn't see it that way. So that was the only little.
Don't worry about that, because I thought it was a splendid get together. The people were just so involved in really trying to connect. You know, that's really what was very striking to me.
Yeah.
People connecting, and nobody was in a hurry. Don't forget, we started at 1:30, and it was almost 6 o'clock before we left the building. So I was really pleased about that. I was really pleased about the attitude and the temperament and the spirit that they brought to this, just getting together, something as simple as that. No big thing. You know, the parties I used to have, but there was a group of custodians who would give me a birthday party. And the rule was so simple, just come by. Don't bring anything, no presents, no gifts of any sort, just come by. Have some food, have something to drink, enjoy the music, dance a little bit, and cheer up. That's all it was. And the last one, you may recall, they said, they were very apologetic, and they said, well, you know, this time we could only accommodate 1,500 people.
No. That's wrong. We have to get Madison Square Garden or Yankee Stadium, something like that. That's what I want.
Well, Willie, I'm not going to prevent you from wanting that, but I'll tell you something. I was in a state of bliss on Sunday because the collective energy was just so bright.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't you feel that?
Yes, absolutely. I met a brother from England, from another mother. He was a real skinny, thin young man. I was a beautiful person. He just came in from London, and I was saying to him that he made the right connection, because where we are, PRN, it's where it's going to be. I met so many people that it was just beautiful. It was I could have stayed till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. It would not matter to me.
Well, the good thing was just to hold on to that vibe. And that brings us to the end of the program. We're out of time. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your intellectual offerings today. It causes us to stop a little bit and think that we're not totally at all without solutions. We just have to stop and pay attention a little bit and recognize that among us, we also have answers. So this is the weekend. Have yourselves a great weekend and take care of yourselves. Be in good spirit, and we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh.